We're getting too used to this. Fun games by the Buffalo Sabres. Three of the last four, another one on Sunday night. The Heritage Classic, the Sabres and Leafs took it outdoors, and it was another fun day to be a Buffalo Sabre fan. We'll break it all down, and also we will go through whether or not we believe Austin Matthews should be suspended. You can probably guess what our answers are going to be. That is coming up here on the Locked On Sabres podcast.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin, happy to distract you from Tom Brady coming out of retirement, which I'm sure nobody in Buffalo wants to think about. It's a good distraction for you too, right? Like who wants? The second I saw that, I turned on Golden Knights and Blue Jackets because I didn't even want to imagine Brady back in the NFL.
Oh, I'm not anti Brady anymore. NFC South. Don't really care. And also, like, if he comes back and he's not good anymore, or like starts to hit the wall that seemingly he'll never hit because he's Tom Brady, but like if he does hit the wall, wouldn't that be fun to just watch him be terrible? Like that's Big Ben.
Yes, he never let us see him be bad. I would love to see that. We by the way, speaking of which, I was watching Blue Jackets and Golden Knights. I turned it off to do the show here, but it's 5-3 Columbus going into the third period over Vegas, which means the Golden Knights are tracking here towards losing a second consecutive game after losing to the Sabres on Thursday, where Jack Eichel got rattled after the game. And that would be 9 losses in 13 games for Eichel going back there. Isn't that so hilarious? I'm not saying it's his fault, but it's so hilarious that like he shows up. Sinbin Vegas, if you don't follow him on Twitter, he's like the main Vegas beat reporter guy on Golden Knights Twitter. And at 8:22 on Sunday night, he tweeted, "We have a new franchise low point." Man, Jack Eichel works quick. He has been there for 3 weeks playing games, and we've got their main Twitter guy tweeting, "We're at a franchise low point." It's so funny to watch. It's so funny to watch.
Oh, it is what it is. I would say it's sad, but
nope.
You know, after those comments, the comments are unforgivable. Like there's nothing that he could do besides rejoin the team and win the cup. Right. for me to like forgive him for those lines, like just going after the fans, like I sat on it for a couple days and it's just, man, I want that guy not I don't want that guy to have good things like happen to him. I feel terrible saying that, but at least in the sport of hockey, like I don't want to see Vegas win ever. I thought to myself, like, oh, I wouldn't really care. Like, I'd be kind of happy for him in a way. But no chance.
So let's get to the Sabres. It was another fun game. It's the third one, really, in their last four games. The only one that wasn't was against Florida. That 6-1 brutal smashing that they had to go up against last Monday. But we had the game, the Eichel game on Thursday, which was tons of fun. Best game of the year. And they follow it up with just a damn good game. The outdoor game, Heritage Classic, Hamilton, Ontario, a lot of action, goals. We had up and down the ice. We had the Austin Matthews play on Dahlin. Play, it's not even a play that we'll talk about coming up here in just a second. We had some broadcaster stuff to talk about because I haven't watched a ton of the TNT broadcast this year. I've watched games on TNT, but like I usually turn it off during intermission. I'm not usually listening to it. I'm doing something else. It's kind of on in the background. So I really sat with it today, and what a day to sit with it, because like, I don't know. I don't want to start with this because there were many things that happened on the ice more important, but story time with Wayne Gretzky really stole the show today, didn't it?
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So are we saving that? Are we saving that? Because I could talk for years about Wayne Gretzky.
Let's just do it now. Was that planned? Is that what they wanted from him?
That's just Wayne Gretzky. That's just who he is. I think that's like – but all the questions they would ask him Like, he, it would lead them to this, like, ridiculous story time about, I forget, there was one, like, he got something at a gas station. Then there was something else he, like, he would buy, he could buy two hockey sticks at a gas station. I think that was, like, his thing. I think I tweeted out if he paid 25 cents for a logo sticker at Holiday Twin Rings, I'm turning this game off. Like, if there's just some like weird Buffalo reference where he, like, nostalgia hockey. That's what it all was. It's like, oh, I got my wooden stick for 50 cents. I got this for, I mean, it was just like, I don't know how anybody could have liked it. I saw some people that did. Mm-hmm. It was bizarre. Like, it was strange. It was, the game was not even in the broadcaster's mind. It would be like Wes Gretzky's like halfway through a story and, oh, they scored.
Right.
And then it would be another story.
Yeah.
Like somebody would make a hit and he's like, oh, that's how the game's been. Let me tell you about Mark Messier.
Mm-hmm.
Weird broadcast choice.
I loved the Greg Bauk tweets at Gregory Bauk, former WGR producer, who was just here it is. Keith Jones, quote, nice chip in the zone there. Gretz, who was your favorite chipmunk in the 80s? Gretzky, tell 7-minute story about Alvin and the Chipmunks. Kenny Albert, covered up by Anderson and there will be a face-off. Wayne Gretzky talks for 12 minutes about how they should have just given the one ring of power to the Eagles. Kenny Albert, so the Sabres take the lead. Wayne Gretzky reads the entire novel 1984 out loud.
No,
One more. Kenny Albert, they're calling it a goal. Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier and I built a robot in my basement and it killed 17 people.
Yeah, I think I had one like that too where it was like play-by-play. What a chance by Austin Matthews. Gretzky, Miss Matthews was my homeroom teacher in middle school. She said I better be good at something because I'm not good at math. Turns out I was. And then they awkwardly laugh. Like, it's just like... It felt like there was that over and over and over again. I'm glad Greg caught on that because his humor is so good. So like it's like I'm glad he caught on. I would not have been able to come up with that many of those. It took me a lot to get that one.
So we'll get to some of the goals here. We got a new game thanks to a listener. I had the listener's name and I forgot it. I'll remember it by the end of the show, or if not, I'll do it in the future. But we have a new name for our game where we break film down, Credit Cake and Blame Pie. So it's considering the Sabres won tonight. We're just going to look at some of the goals that they scored, and we'll get some credit as we break down those goals. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. But let's start with the most interesting play that happened in the game. It didn't even relate to the score, but Austin Matthews with a vicious cross-check to the neck of Rasmus Dahlin after Dahlin bullied him into the net. And I will play it for our YouTube audience. So if you want to follow along with us, be sure to check out our YouTube page, Locked on Sabres. But it's kind of just a dirty, filthy play where I've got, you know, there's Matthews crashing the net. Dahlin cross-checks him. And then Matthews kind of gives it back to him. Dahlin just kind of standing up for himself, pushes it back into the crossbar, and Matthews goes down a little bit. And Matthews' response right here, I mean, look at that. Look at that. Cross check right to the neck. And then Dahlin kind of, you know, goes back at him. Craig Anderson plays peacemaker. It's a dirty hit. It's a filthy hit. I'm sure all Sabre fans have seen it at this point. So what is your inclination? He did not get a major penalty on the play. He got a 2-minute minor. It was matching minors, I believe. So what should happen? This, right? We're going to be in the same camp here, right? Most Sabre fans probably would be that this should be a suspension of some kind.
The thing for me is I feel like I've seen this a lot. Is it usually suspended? Like, is it usually result in a suspension? I don't know. I feel like I see people cross-check people, and they hit people high a lot.
I think most cross-checks, even this vicious, don't get something, but I think because it's as vicious as it is and retaliatory, and that it is directed at his neck. look at that and consider that a pretty, like, that's an extreme version of a cross check here. And I think, you know, the reaction was telling, not even just from, like, Saber fans, but on Twitter, like, Chris Johnston and Elliot Friedman, like, a lot of the national media guys kind of reacted as though, okay, you know, Matthews might not be available in Toronto on Tuesday. It was kind of the immediate tweet that you saw from people. And then actually Chris Johnston was the one that tweeted, like, I swear, 5 minutes after the game ended, that Matthews would get a review from the Department of Player Safety. And man, when they make a determination that quickly that this is play is getting reviewed, like, we want you to know that, like, immediately after the game ends, I feel like I'm expecting him to get suspended. And I do believe he deserves to get suspended. Listen, I'm not even a cross-check to heart. I don't need to suspend himself to cross-check. But
yeah,
Austin Matthews is damn lucky that Rasmus Dahlin did not go down in a heap and have to be, like, stretchered off. Because for where he hit him, and with hitting him the way he did and as hard as he hit him, again, he is damn lucky that he did not seriously injure Rasmus Dahlin. And I think he should be suspended. I mean, I would give him 3 games. That's not a crazy long suspension. I don't think he has a prior history, but you cannot cross-check people in the neck. You break guys' necks.
Yeah. My favorite part of this, though, is Dahlin. Are you here? Well, real quick, are you hearing I'm hearing, like, the broadcast from the game on the highlight?
No, I'm not. So I'm sorry. Okay. I think I could turn that off for you, but the listeners and I'm not, so no.
Okay, good. Okay. Because I was hearing it.
Good question, though, because that would have made it very annoying for people listening.
So it was just me. My favorite part of this is Dahlin just, like, nodding at him like sick bro. Like, just like, I just love that, like, after the play, like, Dahlin just, like, gives him, like, a little nod. Like, because Dahlin knew that he got under his skin. I mean, you get something like that. I've been impressed with Dahlin's, like, toughness. He's not taking any crap from anybody anymore.
Right.
Because I think the past couple years, like, he would get, like, crushed, and, like, he would need, like, somebody to come to his defense. He's a big guy. Like, he can handle himself. Now, would you like somebody to go in there and start, like, throwing haymakers? Probably. But Matthew's got something later. He got something later, so we don't have to worry about that too much.
So we'll talk about that now. But if you were in charge of the Department of Player Safety, what are you giving him? I'm going with 3 games.
Yeah, I don't know what the precedent is for this, but I'm fine with 3. I think that seems reasonable. I could see Matthews getting a superstar discount, though.
Yeah,
maybe like 1.
Yeah. So you're right, though, about Dahlin. I'm glad you made that point, because I think it's correct that he throws his body around, especially this season. You know, he's given stiff checks along the boards and through open ice. And yet there was the play, was it last week? I don't remember what team it was against, but there was one where Craig Anderson kind of got bumped and Dahlin, like, shoved him all the way into the boards. Maybe that was the Leafs game. So he's protecting guys out there. He's protecting himself. He's standing up for himself even here. He actually, if you watch that clip we showed, doesn't go all the way through it, but they showed it on the TV broadcast that kind of after Anderson separates them, then some guy takes a shove, maybe it's Michael Bunting, at Dahlin. He skates away, and Dahlin and Matthews kind of have that quick exchange. Matthews backs off, and Dahlin, like, is yelling at him, like, let's go. Let's go. Like, Dahlin is saying right there, I will drop the gloves with you right here, right now. By the way, how awesome would that have been to cap off that game if Dahlin fought Austin Matthews?
That'd be great.
But, like, he's like, let's go. And Matthews is the one that turns away and skates away. And, like, again, I'm not usually Mr. Super, like, tough-nosed, gritty defenseman is what I care about. But I got to say, I'm enjoying that part of Dahlin's game. I'm definitely enjoying that part of Dahlin's game a lot. Also, do we like that we've got another villain potentially in Austin Matthews? We had Eichel on Thursday, maybe now Matthews. I mean, we haven't had villains in a while here. I'm good with that, right?
Oh yeah, I think the Leafs are actually, like, becoming, like, even more detestable as they've been before. And for some reason, like, it's just for some reason the Sabres still just love to beat them. We love to ruin their day.
Oh yeah.
Is our record still really good against them? I feel like it is.
It So it was amazing. Recently. It was amazing for a very long time. And then I think the last like 2-3 years, they were winning more than we were, but it wasn't representative of how, you know, different the teams were.
Like, you think that they would be sweeping us and they wouldn't.
Oh, it would be like they'd win 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I think you're right to point out that like the Sabres have good success against them. That's for damn sure. And then what we had that kind of followed that was Dylan Cousins. And here's Dylan Cousins. We could talk about camaraderie here. We could talk about just it being an entertaining game. The Sabres standing up for themselves, but Dylan Cousins with about a minute 45 to play. I don't have to put it far back. He comes to mid ice and the game is over. Like, the score is already decided, and Cousins is not afraid. Like, I'm going to throw this check. That's Matthews. That's the guy. Just cross check my star defenseman in the net. I'm taking a run at. And he didn't do it dirty. You know, like the elbow, he kept it down. He hit him in the shoulder, right? Shoulder to shoulder. He follows through with the elbow, but not to the head. It's a clean hit. It's a great hit. Takes Matthews down. And, like, I'll kind of give the floor to Michael you because when I see that play, my first thought is that's you're going to start to hear about a young team coming together after the hit by Cousins.
Oh, I agree. Once again, the highlight to you.
Yes.
No, but it's yeah. I know. I totally agree. Like I was saying after this game, I think I tweeted. It's like, when we look back on the Eichel return as like a turning point for the Sabres, somebody brought up the where we demolished the Leafs like last week. And I think that was a good point because they, besides the Kings game, I don't think they've had many stinkers since that moment. I think they've been looked like a better team. But I do think like they took a lot of pride in playing against Eichel on Thursday. And I think they carried that momentum into this game. I thought that they played really well for the most part. I thought in the first period they were taking it to them. You know, I'm hoping that – and once again, we're seeing that the guys that are leading the team, that are making the plays, are consistently the younger guys. Today it was Krebs with help from Vinny Hinostroza. But that was most of the performance. And then you get Dahlin going after Austin Matthews, standing up to him, and then Cousins defending Dahlin by lighting him up. So I'm optimistic, and I am more excited. I think before this show, you were asking like, are we more excited about the team? And I would say I definitely am more excited about the team. I'm interested to watch the final couple month or so of NCAA hockey to watch more Owen Power and hopefully see him at the end of the year. So I am excited. I think we're still going to get a top 10 pick, and who knows what we add. Like, I think there's a lot to like about this team.
Yeah. What they've done the last two games kind of has you daydreaming about the future. Yeah,
absolutely.
So we'll go through a couple of the goals when we come back, but I echo all that. I thought Cousins, great job standing up for him. I thought it was really funny watching him watch the game from the glass, the rest of it. He got tossed, but he didn't leave. He wanted to watch the rest of the game. So he kind of sat there at the edge of the glass and he watched it. He actually cheered the one. There's a really funny picture out there of Cousins behind the glass with his arms up cheering right after the Sabres had scored, I think, the Peyton Krebs goal, or maybe the empty netter by Thompson. Also, like, listen, he's not really the most popular guy in Buffalo right now, but it was kind of funny to watch Terry Pegula talk to Cousins after Cousins got tossed from the game. And Pegula, like, couldn't help himself. Like, he was smiling ear to ear. Like, at heart, I think he's still a Sabre fan. Like, he wants the team to do well. I'm not saying he's done a good job as an owner, but I thought that was funny that like Pegula is sitting there talking to Cousins and he's like, oh my God, I love you right now so much. And like, that was every Sabre fan. Like, it was great. All right, we'll come back and we'll break down a little bit more in depth what happened in this game. I want to go through some of the goals. We'll do some credit cake. We'll give some credit out for the goals that were scored by the Sabres tonight. And then we'll preview the week to come for the Sabres after a big win against the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Heritage Classic by a score of 5-2. before we get into all of that, I want to tell you about Athletic Greens. So Athletic Greens, they hooked us up a couple of weeks ago, and I've been doing it. I've been trying it. I've been putting the vitamin drops in my coffee. I've been, you know, eating the shake or drinking the shakes. And I got to say, like, I've been in a better mood lately. You know, it's like, maybe it's the vitamins. I'm not someone that's ever really taken supplements, but I think it's doing a really good job for me. So please, if you check out Athletic Greens, AG1, there's a lot of benefits to the AG1 lifestyle that you could check out on their website. 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto or paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It's good for all those. You know, contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals either. And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Athletic Greens, over 7,000 five-star reviews. It is recommended by professional athletes, trusted by the lead health experts. Go to athleticgreens.com/NHL network. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. This episode is also brought to you by Bet Online. It's perfect time of year for Bet Online, right? That's how college basketball tournament is finally upon us. Selection Sunday. From all the latest odds, contests, player props, betonline.net, your number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. I threw a prop bet down tonight. Did you have any bets on this game, Heritage Classic?
No. I was afraid of the winter aspect of it. I didn't want to touch it. Yeah. I need pristine ice indoors.
I went over 2.5 shots on goal by Alex Tuck. He got all 3 shots in a 2-minute span. He got one shot coming down in the breakaway. Then on during at the end of that shift, he had another shot. The rebound came right back to him, and he got another shot. Like, I won that bet as fast as I've ever won any bet ever, and that was over at betonline.net. It's not just basketball or hockey. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, UFC, boxing, and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to their website today, BetOnline, where the game starts. Joe DiBiase, Jordan Hanskin back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. On Monday, March 21st at 3:30, tune into Locked On Fantasy Hockey's live deadline reaction show, the trade deadline reaction show, to get all on the ice fantasy and betting analysis you need from hosts Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone, with appearances from our roster of local team experts. All right. So, Bob, actually, before we get into any of the plays, what did you think of Hamilton? You know, like, it's tough to tell just on TV, but, like, I thought the stadium looked good on television, and that's a market it's a big NHL market. Even though they don't have an NHL team, like, we know that 20% of Sabre season ticket holders are from Southern Ontario, and I'd imagine that there's a lot of Hamilton residents that are season ticket holders to the Leafs. So I kind of appreciated that they were willing to give Hamilton this game, because it's right down the middle. And that's a big city. They said on the broadcast it's just bigger than Milwaukee.
Yeah. No, once again, Canada and their sneaky large cities.
Yes.
but Hamilton was cool. I actually like the venue. Like, it's big enough to be like a special venue where it's a larger than a hockey arena. But it's also like there's a charm to it. Like, it's right in the neighborhoods. I thought it was really cool. I saw the reporters kept mentioning that, and I was like, yeah, that's like awesome. It looked like a college stadium, even though it's for the CFL. Like, that was what I thought was the coolest part of it. But yeah, it had a good look. They had a good day for it with a little bit of snow flurries.
Just the light, the it looked light cool. Snow was perfect.
Yeah, it looked cool. I thought the game was awesome. I just wish I didn't have story time. But that's okay.
Gretzky. Oh my God. I heard.
We get it. He was really good at, yeah, he was, and they kept calling him Gretz, which annoyed me.
Oh my God. It was oh, that broadcast, man, was driving me crazy.
But yeah, but hey, he scored a lot of points. So
He did.
He's naturally gifted as a broadcaster because he scored a lot.
let's play some credit cake here. Let's give out some credit cake. We're going to start with the first goal and the guy that really I thought had the game or one of the best games on the night or the day was Peyton Krebs. So this is actually Vinny Hinostroza who steals it at the blue line, and then he comes in kind of that delay to freeze John Tavares, open up the passing lane, and then look at Krebs going. I've been criticizing his shot since he got here, and look at him going down on one knee and ripping a one-timer home. A great shot by him, but I'll let you go first here on like what percentage of the credit we want to give out here. But I think Hinostroza, I mean, he gets the steal and then makes the pass. Like he's the proprietor of this play.
That was a savvy play by Vinny too, getting out of the, like he just came out of the bench. So he was like ready to cause trouble like immediately right off the bench. And then like the thing that I thought was really good for him was the hesitation. Like he made it look like he was about to shoot, and then right at the last moment he gave the puck over to Krebs. But the shot was still good. Like it was a great shot. So I'll give it maybe 60-40 to Vinny.
60-40 in favor of Vinny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with this. You're right. He had just come on the ice. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, he steals the puck. This is a good camera angle from it for our YouTube listeners. He freezes Tavares and then boom. Yeah, Krebs with a great shot there. He's got to get 40%. And listen, like he's had a couple of nice shots recently, so I'm going to back off on he can't be a guy who scores 30 goals in a career year because that's a damn good shot right there by Peyton Krebs. You're feeling great about Peyton Krebs right now, by the way. How can you?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go back. Vinny Hinostroza, man, he was everywhere in this game. I agreed with Jordan, by the way, 60-40 in favor of Vinny for the first goal by the Sabres. So then Matthew scores to make it 2-1, and we've got the Skycam view here. By the way, how do you like the Skycam for hockey?
Don't like it.
You don't like it?
It's confusing.
I can't decide if I like it or not. It's kind of, it makes me nauseous though.
I don't like it in most sports. I think football is the only one I kind of like because football is kind of designed for it.
Sure.
Like, cause they always set up in the middle. So it's like, but yeah, like I don't know if I like it for hockey.
Right. So actually Hinostroza kind of starts this play too. So he's got it. This is not an easy play. If you look here, it's kind of hard to tell because of the Skycam, but here is Hinostroza and he's got a Leaf defender that is like pressured right up against him. He's stagnant. So it's very easy to turn this puck over, but he knows this is Casey Mittelstadt right here. That's where that pass is going. He leaves it for him. Mittelstadt does a good job of getting that puck first, kind of wheeling around. And then that toe drag right there kind of sets up this whole play. Look at this. I mean, look at that's not, sorry, not Mittelstadt. That's Thompson. Sorry. Thompson is the one that look at him just carve up the Leafs here. Toe drag outside, inside, outside. He dekes out Matthews and then the pass up to Hinostroza, who gets into the faceoff circle. He puts the puck off of a man, a defender, 78 of the Leafs, into the net. So a lucky goal for sure, but there are some nice plays that come before this goal.
I think this goes mostly to Thompson. Mm-hmm. I mean, Krebs or Hinostroza didn't even shoot it.
No, he's trying to pass him.
Yeah, but I mean, that Thompson move, jeez, it's so good. It's so good. The fact that he developed from I would like kind of laugh at him for how like uncoordinated he seemed in years past. Mm-hmm. And like how just in control and confident he is with the puck now. It's night and day. Right. So I want to give most to Tage, but I think the thing that Hinostroza does really well here is once again like using his speed. This is like the thing that like we always needed more of. We want more speed. And Hinostroza was just a great acquisition for this because he is fast. There's one thing that he's really good at. He is fast.
So how do we feel about like 70-30 in favor of Thompson?
Good with that. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, the moves by Thompson, the pass, by the way, is right on the tape. But you're right. Hinostroza, like, look where he picks up the puck. He gets the puck on his tape going right at the blue line. And look, like, there's a defenseman, like, right there. Like, he's kind of staying stride for stride, but it's that one extra step. It's that one extra step of quickness that he has that the defenseman doesn't, that allows him to drive the outside, and then he throws it in front and gets lucky. So I think he gets some credit, of course, but Thompson is really the one that that makes this play. All right, we'll break down the other goal real quick when we come back. But I do want to tell you about Built Bar before we do that, because I've got the new Shamrock Shake flavor, and they are delicious. And I am not a mint guy. I've also, though, I'll say this. I've never had a real Shamrock Shake. Is that sacrilegious that I've never had a real Shamrock Shake?
I haven't had one either. So, okay. I mean, I hope it's not sacrilegious.
Okay, good. We have something in common here. We've never had Shamrock Shake.
I like mint. I'm like
okay
with it. I like mint chip ice cream. So I'd probably like a Shamrock Shake. I don't go to McDonald's that much, so I don't.
Well, I'm not even a mint ice cream guy. You know, if I want mint, I'll brush my teeth. But saying all of that, the Shamrock Shake Built Bars were incredible. Like, they're not overpowering with the mint. So even like, I'm not a coconut guy either, and the coconut brownie Built Bars I love too. So they have a special ability to take flavors I don't generally like, and they make me want to eat
them. I mean, they're just real good. Like,
just one, right?
Like, that's all you need to know. Like, and they're keto friendly, are they not?
They're keto friendly. Jordan should definitely, that should be their new slogan. They're just good.
Like, they're just good. They're real good.
What else do you need to know? Well, what else you do need to know is that they are keto friendly because they are healthy. They taste like a candy bar, but they are not unhealthy like a candy bar. Built bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein while being 100% covered in chocolate. And compare that to a candy bar. It's got 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Go to built.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off your order. Try that new Shamrock Shake flavor. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Jody Biasi, Jordan Hanson, a couple more minutes here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. We went through Hinostroza's first goal of the game. Listen, he scored 2 goals. He got the most credit in the first goal, so he deserved to have a multi-point night, but he banked 1 goal in off a leg, and then look at this guy getting a second goal the way he did. Hinostroza to make it a 3-2 score. He gets it on the red line, and a Jochen Hesse goal, right? You know, let me just throw it to the net, see what happens. And Peter Mrazek, he caught him napping, right? Like, if you see it from this camera angle right here, which is from behind Hinostroza on the right side of Mrazek. He caught him napping. Look at that. Look at that gap. He is not tugging. He is not pressed up against the post. And Hinostroza caught him, and the puck was right where it needed to be. So this one's not as fluky as the first one, because he did need to shoot it in the exact place that he did, but still a little bit lucky, right?
Yeah, it's lucky, but it's 100% Hinostroza, right? Like, nobody else gets any credit for that.
Should we throw some blame towards Mrazek? This is credit cake, so we're supposed to really just dish it out for Sabre guys. But
I mean, you make a play that Jochen Hesse made famous, and it's 100% you.
It's all him. You're right, because Cousins loses the draw, so we're not giving him any credit. Here's Hinostroza pressuring. The puck gets turned over just by a dumb mistake by the Leafs defenseman. That's not Hinostroza, by the way. That's Krebs. So Krebs is
Krebs. We'll give Krebs some.
Give Krebs like 10.
Yeah. That's a good hustle play.
Yeah.
Like, that's good effort. Like, we lose a draw, but it doesn't mean you had necessarily lose the, like, you lose possession.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. All right, Krebs 10%. Hinostroza, we will give 90%. Give a little towards him. And then finally, the last goal we'll break down. Actually, maybe we should do the empty netter too, real quick, just because it was a really nice empty netter. 2 games in a row, by the way, with a really nice empty netter. You don't get that very often. So to make it 4-2, this one is the controversial one because it gets called no goal right away. Then they discuss, they call it goal. Then they go to the replay review. They confirm it as a goal. Okposo with a great cross ice pass, right to Cousins, who kind of, listen, Cousins fumbles it in his feet a little bit, but he's able to gather it pretty quickly, which allows him enough time to make the pass right on the stick of Krebs. And Krebs, not an easy one-timer because it's across his body. He gets a lot on it, and it dribbles through Mrazek's five hole. Before we give any credit out, One, did you think this should have been a goal? And two, were you surprised that they did call it a goal?
Did they explain why?
They did not. Well, they did to Sheldon Keith, but not to us. They didn't.
Because I don't think this should have been a goal. Like, I think that net's off before the puck's in.
It is. I think the reason they called it off is because they said Mrazek did it on purpose.
Ah.
But I think it's debatable. I think he accidentally did
it. Yeah, that seems kind of harsh. Man, that's wild. Like, they're saying that's on purpose. Yeah, like, I'm watching it and I'm kind of laughing. Like, that does not seem like an on purpose move. Maybe a little bit.
So
I
guess. What just happened there? Jordan backed off his take just a little bit because he saw the in net camera.
Let me explain it. Like, I saw, like, he had his arm pressed up against the post, and then for some random reason, he like shoves the post backwards.
Yes.
So, like, in a way, I do get it, but it could just be because he's trying to like push himself forward to make a save.
Yeah.
But like, in a way, like, I do understand it now.
He kind of deserves it to be a goal just because this is just stupid positioning for a goaltender.
Yeah, and I think
He's in his own net.
I think if the net was still in position, they still would have scored.
Oh, I agree.
It went right through him anyway.
That's another reason why I think they gave the Sabres the benefit of the doubt. Because if you ask yourself, if the net doesn't get marked off here, is it a goal? And I think the answer to that question is yes.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think in the end, the team that deserved to win didn't win. So
yes. So what do we want to do here? Oposo with a pretty nice cross ice pass. He gets something. Cousins for gathering the puck and then putting the pass right on Krebs' tape. I think she gets some credit. And then Krebs, again, like another nice shot by Krebs. Gets a lot on it. Crossbody one-timer. This is a tough one for me, though.
I think Oposo's play was the best one.
So you want to give Oposo the most?
Maybe like 40-30-30.
Okay. All right, Jordan's going to go 40-30-30 in favor of Oposo. I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit because I'm very – you know what? Never mind. I think I'm trapping myself in giving Krebs more credit for the shot because I've been critical of his shot. I think if I just break it down and I don't even think about it being Peyton Krebs, you're right. The Oposo pass is the most important, impressive play of the sequence. Okay, I agree with you. Oposo 40, Cousins 30. And then Krebs 30, and then, yeah, what are you doing, Peter Mrazek? Just shoving it off. So that was the 4-2 goal. We already broke down all the extracurricular stuff that happened in between, and then real quick, this one's an easy one. It is 100% for Tage Thompson, but for our YouTube show viewers that, you know, have been sticking with the game breakdowns here, we got to show it, right? This is a nice empty netter. Is it better than Tux? Maybe not, but that little toe drag to deke out Willie Nylander along the boards. Thompson being out there in an empty net situation too. I don't know how good of a two-way player he really is, but he gets a lot of penalty kill time. He's out there with the empty net situation up two. Just a real nice goal by Tage Thompson, even if it's an empty netter. So
I think you like having, at least the way I would do it is I like to have a dangerous offensive player out there. Somebody that's skilled with the puck. I just think that that's like I feel like that's something to value rather than just having all your gritty defensive guys out there.
Right.
Like, I think you could handle like four gritty defensive guys and then also like add a skilled like guy to take that. Like, I never thought Eichel was an amazing defensive player, but I liked that he was out there in empty net situations because he has the capability to score.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree. I definitely agree with that. All right, so that's it. Now, what a week. You know, we were looking forward to this week. We were hyping this week up, and Monday did not go well. No doubt, Monday did not go well. Reinhardt returned. It was kind of uneventful. Even the video and the tribute was uneventful. He didn't get booed, and they lost 6-1. They got beat down. But then Thursday was just awesome. Thanks to all our listeners. Pushed us all the way up to 7th in the hockey podcast charts on Apple Podcasts. We have never been that high. I don't think a Locked On NHL podcast has ever been that high. I'm not sure. But we have never been that high. I don't think we had ever been higher than like 17th. And listen, like the guys at After the Whistle, they went to number one. I've never, and I look at those charts once in a while, ever since I've been doing this show, I have never not seen Spit and Chicklets number one.
Yeah.
This fan base, what I compared it to a super volcano the other day. It's a dormant super volcano. And when you just saw this past two games, is the warning smoke. That this fan base, that this is a super volcano that is about to explode if they ever get good.
I just think this fan base, man, they deserve a winner. They deserve all good things to happen to them. The people of Buffalo are so loyal. They're so loyal to their teams. And that's like one of the main reasons why the Eichel comments just made me so mad. It's just like they would give anything for you to have won. They just want to spend their money and enjoy your team and your entertainment. They want to love these players. They want to love the team. And it hurts them that they're apathetic about it. They don't want to be that way. They just want something to care about and enjoy. And it's like, I'm happy and I'm hoping that this team continues to grow and be better, because this is a team I can root for. This is a team that I can spend money on and cheer for and go to all their games. They have a lot to like about this team, and I think Sabre fans should be optimistic about that. Now, I would also love for us – I know I'm not in Buffalo right now, but go to the game and cheer your head off to show Eichel that he's wrong. That's my thing. It's like I'll be doing it from my house, but like everybody needs to be doing that, because I want that guy to be wrong about everything.
Yeah. And it's official. Like, as we just end the show, the clock just hit zero. The Golden Knights lose 6-4 in Columbus.
That's a shame.
They have lost 9 of 13 with Jack Eichel. That's amazing.
That's a shame. I hate to see that.
Upcoming for the Sabres. They're off till Thursday, which probably means we'll talk a lot of trade deadline. McDavid is next. Thursday night at Edmonton. That is a 9 o'clock puck drop. Friday at Calgary. The Flames, if you have not watched them yet this year, they are awesome. Like, they are a legit contender. They might be the second best team in the West behind Colorado. And then Sunday night, the Sabres are at Vancouver for a 10 o'clock puck drop. Since we have a couple days in between games here, we will spend the next couple of days on the trade deadline. We are a week out. We are 1 week away from the deadline. Colin Miller, Kyle Okposo, who I've thrown out there, his name, he's probably less likely to be dealt. Craig Anderson could become interesting now. I mean, two goalie needy teams just watch Craig Anderson stand on his head back to back against the Leafs and against the Golden Knights. So maybe he's interesting for this. There are other UFAs and there are other trade ideas for the Sabres. And maybe we'll do some around the league stuff as well in the next couple of days. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan is at JR Hanskin. The podcast account is at Locked On Sabres. And again, thanks for making us a top 10 show on Apple Podcasts. Like, it's really cool to see us, you know, doing that well when the team is this well. It really reminds you that this is the best. When things are going well, that this is the best hockey market in the United States, no doubt. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. And go make your second listen. Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Talk to you tomorrow here on Locked On Sabres.